With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Battlecast. I am your host, Seth Vilo, and it's a big month. It's time for the every 3 month tier shifts, which is what our topic is going to be today. And I'm not here alone. I've got another brilliant person with me. It's a tag team this month. So hearkening back to the old TCG set, it's Mr. Shark Finnegan. How are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm not bad. I am not bad. It's been... you know, it's been fun watching these kind of effects of the latest tier shift take place. It's only been on for, what, 2 weeks now as of release? Something like that?
Yeah. No, it's happened then. Some waves have already kind of trickled in for some of these droppers specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, some tiering action has even started to take place, so they're on it. It's great to see. But how have you been just in general? What kind of Pokemon shenanigans have you been up to this last month? Because you were on last month's show, too.
Yeah. Mainly, I've been doing just a bunch of Draft League primarily. That's specifically, I'm in a couple of Uber Draft Leagues right now.
You mentioned that.
One is a team tour with me, Cloud9, P-McGee, and Huiku are all a part of.
Ooh.
Yep, so we basically just have three draft teams, and we can just kind of pick who plays what and kind of best two out of three that each week with teams. So that's been some fun. Cool.
What's been your most successful thing? You said it was like mainly Ubers, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's honestly one of the better ones I've been at lately, just kind of being able to get just the one big scary threat and be able to try to sweep with it. Or sometimes you get like two, like... depending on how it's tiered up, you usually get like either one broken one, like one team that I have is like I can only get Mewtwo.
Okay.
But I mean, when you have Mewtwo paired with things like Lando T, Infernape for offensive power, and then you have like Mega Aggron, Umbreon, Pukumuku for like the big fat. Yeah. And Florges as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, yeah, no, this team's going to do pretty well.
I'm not surprised Pukumuku was mentioned, just with McGee being part of it, honestly.
Yeah, our team name is Team Larry, which is Larry's our the name that P. McGee has given to Pukumuku, and we all drafted Pukumuku on our teams.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And the first week, P. McGee did not bring his, and me and Cloud brought ours, and they both put in a lot of work.
They really?
Mm-hmm. I got a toxic kill off of on one of them, so... yeah, no, I mean, my opponent kept setting up with stuff, and unaware, Pukumuku kind of just sits there, so...
Uh-huh. I guess if you don't know, if you're unaware of it,
exactly.
I guess you can do that.
Exactly, oh my gosh, exactly.
That is hilarious. Ugh.
But then, yeah, otherwise, I've also did the Puckle Game Night stream this past weekend.
Where, oh, yeah, I missed out on that.
Yep, where we played the classic Pokemon Master Trainer, which was a blast.
Oh, and also, that sounds fun.
Also, terrible game, but it was still a lot of fun.
That's the one with all the little tiles and everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just basically have to... It's just a lot of really bad dice rolls and just trying to... You really need to get a whole evolution line to even have a chance to really beat some of the Elite Four members. And we just kept having crazy luck and things. Like, I think for most of it, we were having to fight either Lance or Blue. And they're it's 9 impossible to beat them outright. You have to have the right cards in hand and have the right rolls at the right time and hope no one else Fs you up. Which we weren't, I think at the point when we were at that stage, we were just in the game because it took 3 hours to get there.
My gosh.
Yeah.
I've still got most of those tiles physically. I had that game physically a long time ago, but I can't find the board for the life of me. And if I did, I know it wouldn't be complete. So
yeah, oh, well. I'm curious how good mine is. I know I have it somewhere in my parents' house, but I have not seen it recently. But I would love to pull that bad boy out.
Exactly. Print out some replacement things.
Exactly.
Make a deck of it on your own.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll both be looking for it at our respective parents' places. So
exactly,
whoever gets it first wins.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are the Battlecast. We are not the Pokemon Master to be a Master or whatever the game was called. Master whatever it cast. So we will dive into it. And this month is a little bit different than normal. As I mentioned earlier, our topic itself is actually these tier changes that happen every 3 months. So we'll go over what the big changes are, what we can already see being impactful and everything. So we are going to hop on over to part one of Tier Time.
And now it's time to see the results of this month's Blood, Sweat, and Tearing.
And we are back, and we're starting off, as always, with the most interesting tier of all of them, that is Ubers. So take it away, Shark. You've got the most experience with Ubers recently, what with that drafting thing. So what's going on in Ubers?
Well, currently, what we got going on in Ubers is a really scary little offensive core of Lele and Calyrex Shadow Rider. Just Lele being able to kind of spam psychic attacks fairly freely, and Psychic Spam being one of the bigger things in Ubers that you have to account for. So that having that with also the Fairy Spam of Moonblast. But then couple that with Psychic Terrain's ability to prevent priority and Calyrex Shadow Rider being one of the fastest spammable Pokemon in the format. Yeah, it's really scary.
Yeah, nothing's hyper weak to both Sucker Punch and Shadow Sneak, so that kind of limits how Yveltal can counter it. It still can, but it changes what it can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of a nasty little combo.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely something that I've even seen some people try to do in Draft League, just that type of, Psychic Terrain with, things like Mewtwo or, even something Lunala is actually not too bad with that kind of thing, or Deoxys, just be able to spam that kind of thing. But yeah, otherwise, there's been some analysis recently done on using berries on Uber's format. Some of the big things, I think, being Eternatus, using a whole bunch of different types of berries, such as Citrus Berry, Citrus, Haban, Shuka, and I think even a little bit of Yachi, but I think those types of berries, the reason why they're useful is that, one, Eternatus, most of the Ubers Pokemon themselves have really high stats. They can be able to take advantage of these resist berries. And the other thing is that once these berries are used up, Marshadow has a harder time being able to attack you. Because Poltergeist.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Okay.
Yes, that's been that's a very tricky, fun thing to counter Marshadow. Marshadow is stupid dumb, first of all. ghosts fighting. There's very little you can do about it. The big things that you do is you either run, like, item lists, if you're, like, to, like, on your fairy types that you know you can maybe be able to, like, eat the fighting attack, and if they're running poltergeist, you know, you punish that. Alternatively, these berries, they'll give you at least that little one-off attack that, you know, you can be able to, like, take a hit or, you know, get some advantage out of, but then later on, now you're immune to poltergeist. Right. So I think that's the big thing of why.
Yeah, that didn't even occur to me.
Or it's kind of gaining usage in the format.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few others that are kind of more niche type things, like back on Eternatus. Eternatus is poison, so it resists the fighting step. So it actually becomes a really good Mar Shadow counter.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, the thing.
And it's got. I see. One of the things that I see on here is one of my personal favorite strategies, which is Chesto Rest.
Yes.
Zygarde being the main user there, so.
Oh, yeah. Zygarde's so tanky, especially once you get it in its fully constructed form.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, you can just, if you just set up a couple coils with it, generally you could just pop off really well 1,000 arrows.
Mm-hmm. I love Zygarde. I've redone my favorite of each type chart recently, and it's moved to my favorite ground slot. So
yeah, the only thing on that somewhere. Like hurts it is like not having Stealth Rock. Like it doesn't have Stealth Rock, but other than that, it's really good. It is a really good ground, a really good dragon. It is bulky to high heavens, and it can either bulk itself up or just go really go fast and just spam 1,000 arrows for days.
Mm-hmm. And it just needs the one offensive move, so
it really does. It can get by, like maybe you can stick in the dragon, but otherwise,
yeah,
and even glare is really good too on it.
Yeah, super annoying. All right, well, very cool. That is Uber. It's pretty much in a nutshell. As usual, not much is happening with it, just because it's kind of an odd tier, but
yeah, it's more, it's whenever a big threat comes, how quickly do they deal with it? And if it's not that big of a deal, it stays the same for a good long while.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so let's move on down to the next tier, and we're going to do a little bit of jumping around here for part one, and we're going to skip OU and UU and jump down to RU, just to give OU and UU the true respect that they deserve. They need to have kind of their own segment bit. So I will go ahead and hop into RU. So the last time we spoke, dear listener, the Durant suspect had just begun, and the results came back a couple weeks after that, and Durant was ruled too much for the tier, so it has been banned from RU, so it's gone. So, with that tier shifting a couple of weeks ago, notably three things departed from the tier. Those are Seismitoad, Barrascuda, and Alolan Ninetales. Notably, Barrascuda and Alolan Ninetales jumped all the way from here to OU, so they completely bypassed UU at all. Just something to note for later. But yeah, the RU tier no longer has Seismitoad, Barrascuda, or Alolan Ninetales. And Grimmsnarl and Nidoqueen dropped from UU into this tier, so that's where they're at right now. If I had to guess, I think that Seismitoad, if we're being honest, is going to drop down again next month. Rain is leaving UU again. Another thing is entering UU that's going to really give Seismitoad a lot of competition. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But I think Seismitoad will return.
I think it really would depend on how good Politoed Rain is in both UU or in UU. I think Rain is still a good Barrascuda. Spoiler alert, it jumps all the way up to OU, so it kind of skirts around. So Seismitoad being one of the better swift swimmers in UU at the moment kind of at least potentially means it could stay. But, I mean, it really just depends on how good Politoed Rain is for UU at this current metagame. And Politoed's not really a good Rain. It's not as good as
Pelipper. Yeah.
Pelipper just gives you that momentum that Politoed does not. That's so important.
And just recovery, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
that's the only reason, but I don't disagree with you. But it's more, I think it's more if rain exists in UU anymore.
Mm-hmm. And Seismito is weird in that it's both defensive and offensive, depending on what the ability you select is. So, I mean, you can either have the water immunity and be a wall, or go offensive and do the swift swim thing. So it can really kind of choose. That's one big advantage it has. That said, though, because Seismitoad is gone, Raikou gets to go even crazier, as well as just any other electric types, because one of the big electric immunities has now left. Raikou doesn't really have good coverage for it either, so it can run other things with impunity. The other ground type that entered, like Nidoqueen, gets popped by Scald, which Raikou learns for some reason. So.
Yeah, Raikou gets Scald and Weather Ball. So it has both available to it. So whether it's a rain or not, it's gonna be able to be a menace.
Yeah, it's got a great move set for what it is. It didn't lose much from the hidden power leaving because it gained Scald. So
yeah,
that was kind of cool.
Exactly. So it's got Scald. It's got Aura's. Yeah, it basically deals with most of its checks except for the water ground, water absorb Pokemon.
Exactly.
Cough, cough, Seismitoad. Cough, cough.
Cough, cough. Exactly. So a new arrival, as we mentioned a minute ago, Grimmsnarl, is getting a little bit of chatter. Honestly, though, it's kind of not quite dead on arrival, but close, because of that light clay ban that happened with UU and everything else below OU. So Grimmsnarl's biggest quote-unquote niche of prankster screens is a little bit nerfed. It can still do it, but, you know, it just loses those three turns granted by the light clay.
Though, to be fair, if you look at some of currently in RU, the top two Pokemon, well, the top Pokemon is Flygon, which Grimmsnarl does a decent time checking. Umbreon, Grimmsnarl can you know, take on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple fairies, though, that are still there that make it a little harder, but it's got...
Absolutely.
But still, it's like, it can have a niche, but it's going to be definitely more offensive than that support set that's typically run with it.
Exactly. It might be like a support attacker with something like Thunder Wave Taunt and its stabs, or maybe a bulk up attacker, because that's boosted by Prankster too. You can absorb hits better than you would expect.
Prankster Sob is fun. Punch.
Yep. So, I mean, I think someone will find a good use for it that has a niche here. I don't personally see it going much lower than RU, because it's pretty darn good, and I think RU is a good spot for it. That's just my opinion, just guessing. But yeah, I that's what I think it'll end up being. Probably not a screen setter. It can be in some situations, but more than likely some kind of hybrid utility and offense thing with its stabs, because Fairy Dark is really good, even in this area. Lots of things are hit neutrally by that combination.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Grimmsnarl probably has a good place down here. On the topic of weather, which we mentioned a little bit earlier, there's a little bit of a resurgence of hail. Even though they lost Alolan Ninetales, they still have access to Vanilluxe, and Arctivish is starting to see a little bit of traction because, you know, Arctozolt is gone, and
that's
why not
awesome.
Just go down to the next thing?
But, I mean, to be fair, Vanilluxe is actually a really good, like, it could be a very good Pokemon. It's got a really good stat line and just the right, just needs a little more speed, but 110 special attacks, spammable Blizzard is never bad.
Yeah, and it gets some funky moves, too. I think it gets Freeze Dry, of course, but it also gets access to Taunt, which is a big thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's surprisingly got a lot of utility to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite Ninetales Aurora Veil level of utility, but it can still do that too, I think.
I should be able to do that.
Yeah.
It can also do some weird, it can also just, you know, explode to get momentum into things.
Also that's true too. I'd forgotten about that. So yeah, it's got its own
95
set of stuff.
95 explosions, not bad.
Yeah. But other than that, honestly, RU has been a little bit quiet, if we're being honest. The drops and departs are not enormously notable. Unlike a couple of the other tiers that we're going to talk about. So let's just hop into the next one. Yes. Tell me a little bit about NU, Shark.
Speaking about those, speaking about making noise, what comes in, first of all, you got Dual Blade, which is, a really nice Pokemon in that format. You know, it's got, with Eviolite, it's ridiculously bulky, and it's got good, good ghost spammable attacks. It can be offensive, defensive, toxic sets, or, Sacred Sword to be able to break through some of those defensive pieces in the format, like Bronzong and Diancie. It's not bad.
Yeah, those like to boost their defense, so Sacred Sword going through those is great.
Mm-hmm. But more notably than that, Regidrago and Snorlax come in and immediately are quick banned.
Yep.
Because Regidrago is, it's really shouldn't be in. Honestly, I don't think it should be in you, given what Pokemon are there. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you have things like Sylveon and Diancie in the top bit. Regidrago is just capable of winning games outright. It's like in the right situation. If they're gone and you have not taken out a Scarf or done enough to protect yourself from Scarf Dragon Energy, it's over.
Yep.
So you have that.
That one was too much.
It was too much, too fast. They decided to quick ban it, and it was completely unanimous. Snorlax was not unanimous, and kind of how they handled Glastrier, how it kind of came in, was quick ban, and then they let it back in safely to test it for real. They're doing the same thing with Snorlax now. They're letting it come in and just see how it does, but it's in the suspect now. Now that they kind of waited to see, people weren't sure about it, so let's see how bad it really is. And it is currently being suspected in about a week's time. They should have the results of that. So,
yep. October 19th is when the testing ends. So if you want to hop in and get the requirements for it, that's how long you have until.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually too bad to get there. You do have to play 50 games. You need at least 30 games, but you can definitely. I think the GXE seems a little bit lower than typical OU suspect tests. So, if that's something you want to do, if you want to see how good Snorlax is, and the two really good sets for it, which are currently Choice Band and Curse. Because Mudsdale, also in the format, has been known to run a Choice Band set. It basically kind of slots in pretty well. And Snorlax has really good coverage moves.
It does.
Earthquake or Darkest Lariat for Bronzong. Earthquake for Diancie, who would stop it. And I think it pretty much hits everything else in the top 10 at the moment of NU. I mean, it isn't like Flame Body Talonflame, but I don't think Talonflame likes Body Slams, so.
Yeah.
And then just the Curse set. It can get stupidly bulky, and there's not too much that can break it easily once it's able to start popping off.
Yeah, with its natural special defense set, too. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's like, the real big fighting type is going to be Sirfetch'd and to try to break it, so we'll see. We'll see for sure how it does, but I don't know if it's going to last myself here.
Mm-hmm. From what I could read, the overall impression is that it's pretty balanced for the most part. It's nice that it adds something else that can resist Ghost, which there are a lot of down there, especially now with DuBlade as well, just adding to that. But it can kind of get out of hand quickly if you don't deal with it. So, a threat, but not broken is the impression I'm getting so far.
Yeah.
But we do still have a week left, so who knows?
Yeah, so it's on that edge for sure. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And it's going to be interesting how everything's going to unfold in the next few months here with BDSP and Legends Arceus and home connectivity. We'll see how that all unfolds in this format. So
yeah.
That'll be interesting to see.
I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. So it may be a new band for a little bit, but We'll see how that all shifts.
Exactly. That's probably not happening till 2022, though, unfortunately, based on the home announcement. So we have a while.
Mm-hmm. But not too long. Not too long to be on band.
Exactly.
Maybe Regidrago will be good, not, or be good enough for NU.
There might be some things that keep it in check now.
Exactly.
Some other weird fairy, like, that we get from Hisui.
You got Florges, probably. I mean, if Sylveon is an NU, I'm pretty sure Florges will be an NU. And
yeah. What if they give it a grass Hisuian form?
Yeah, maybe.
Not fairy grass, just straight up grass. Just be wrong on both forms. Oh my gosh. So I guess a couple other things that happened here too is there's been a little bit of respect given for a couple more Pokemon down here that I'm seeing. Do you want to hit those real fast?
Oh, yes. First of all, Talonflame is just really good at being a fairly defensive Pokemon in this format. It doesn't seem like it, but Fire Flying is really a good defensive type. And being able, with its Flame Body and its speed, and being able to taunt Will-O-Wisp and pivot out, it's got a lot in its toolkit to be able to just have a good control on the format and be able to kind of check certain things. As well, Inteleon is a really good offensive water type. It's got a pretty solid move pull and gives you that momentum with U-turn and flip turn. In DDF, you've got the scary expanding force psychic terrain combination with Dazzling Gleam. So basically just a mini Lele.
Yeah.
Togedemaru is a good check right now to run a Mo, which is one of the right now as of September, number 3 in the format.
Yeah, arguably it's the best Scarfer in the tier, so it's good to have something to pause it at least.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you wish support out of this little... the little spiky hedgehog boy there.
I always forget it learns that. Every time I'm surprised to learn that it learns Wish.
Yeah, I wish it learned Spikes. I wish it learned Spikes.
Doesn't it now?
It does not learn.
I thought it did.
It does not learn Spikes. I tried to use it in Draft League. It just didn't work. But then again, I was using it in an Ubers League, which is probably not the best way to try to use it. I have some cheeky sects. Right? It has some cheeky potential of, like, you know, you could do, like, sturdy, like, endeavors. You know, be annoying. It can nuzzle. It can do a lot of little things. But it just, like, I want it to have spikes as well, and it didn't have spikes. And it just
I had to check you because, honestly, I didn't believe you. I thought it got something, but it gets nothing.
Does not get any sort of hazards. Like, if it was hazards, I'm pretty sure it'd be more popular in NU.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it's got iron barbs. What the?
It's got iron barbs, spiky shield, but not spikes.
Why not spikes?
It doesn't its little quills out. No, it just keeps them on its body.
I guess that's the appropriate thing to do. I keep my appendages on my body as well.
And then... lastly, but not leastly, is Sneasel, because of just how good Dark and Knockoff is. I think this generation, I think without Megas and Z Crystals right now, Knockoff spam is just really potent. And I think that's one thing that we've learned from the 500 Club last month's topic. Yeah, Dark types are really good. Especially when they can spam, like, stab knockoff. We had to...
Yep.
There was, I think, 3 of them banned.
Were there really?
Yes. Bisharp was banned. Crawdont was banned. And... let me see. What was the last one? There's another one that was just... oh, Pangoro. It was first Pangoro and Bisharp week 1. Just because Pangoro as well... just being able to have it's Urshifu. Mm-hmm, it's Urshifu in the format. We can't let Urshifu be in the format.
no budget Urshifu for you. Get out of here.
Yeah, no Urshifu, or aka Pongoro. And then, Bisharp and Crawdont. And there was even minor talks of Scrafty at point, but I think it was more in jest. But Scrafty as well, like, it was... I mean, knockoff is strong. And when there's nothing wants to eat it right now in the format. And when you have a Pokemon like Sneasel, that's got still, like, even it's not as fast or as hard hitting as it's, you know, its fully evolved form, it's still really good. And Triple Axel, Heavy Duty Boots, choice band, choice scarf, whatever you want to use. Even wide limbs with triple axle just to make sure you don't, you hit all three triple axles. Yeah.
That's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen some discussion of Sneasel being used in UU. Like, that's how good the Ice Dart combo and knockoff is, so.
Yeah, when you look at UU, I mean, I can believe it, just given, like, just the top Pokemon as of September, when you have things like Kamo-O, Crocodile, Salamence, Thundurus, they all don't want to take Ice, or Jirachi doesn't want to take knockoff. Yeah, yeah, like, all those, like, Aegislash doesn't want to take knockoff either. Yeah, so, like, most of those don't want to take it. Like, Rhydamosh takes it okay. I mean, it doesn't want to lose its item. Same with Celesteela. Same with Amoongus.
Nothing same wants to lose its item. That's the thing. And it's good. Sneasel's got 115 speed, 95 attack. Like, it has the stats where it needs it.
It's just enough. I don't, like, in UU, I think it needs a little bit more to get there.
Yeah.
But I can see why it's being discussed, because, I mean, I've used it before just as, like, you know, as a budget Weavile, as that, you know, in Draft League, just as a little speed threat that, you know, will revenge kill anything, pretty much. And it does a decent job at it. So.
Yeah. Not to be taken lightly.
So I think we have one more format we're going to talk about before the big meat of the show.
Yes, we do, and that is PU, the bottom tier. So, there weren't any bans or really any arrivals because it's PU. Nothing really drops into PU, or didn't, rather, this time. So, the only things that really happened were departures, which are things that got enough usage to leave the tier. Those are two Pokemon, Silvally Steel and Passimian, which is honestly a very, very big loss, especially for Passimian, honestly. Both of those were two semi-reliable Drampaw checks, which a couple months ago was unbanned and was allowed to be used again around the same time as Exeggutor Alolan. That one was banned, but Drampaw still is down there, and Passimian was part of what was keeping it down there and keeping it in check. Now that that's gone, the old goofy dragon is kind of going a little bit berserk. There's a lot of jokes in the discussion threads about all the NU players stealing the good fighting types from PU because they banned all of their own. So here we are, them stealing the final good one in Passimian. Because really, they have a couple other fighting types, but not that are to the same caliber. Those really are Sock and Hitmonlee, and maybe fighting type Silvally. But, you know, those all are hurt in one way or another in strength, in speed, or for Silvally's case, not being able to run an item like Scarf. So there's pros and cons to each one of them. Drampaw oftentimes was running a Coppleberry in order to lure in Passimian and then bop it when it tried to take it out. Now it doesn't have to do that. It can run other scarier items or take its sweet time to set up Calm Minds, making it yet more lethal.
God, 130 with Berserk.
Yeah, and with this, honestly, the speed helps with the Berserk too, because it being slower, you can trigger Berserk before your turn occurs, before your attack happens. So
yeah,
it's pretty good. Between Silvally Steel and Passimian, they also checked a lot of other things down in this tier, namely Scrafty, Charizard, Serena, and Galarian Articuno were all things that those two in tandem or individually checked. So they'll start to see a bit of surging, giving things like hazard removal a little bit more leeway because of Charizard and Serena, like those two together. Serena can spin, Charizard takes advantage of no rocks being down, Articuno too, same thing. Defog might be a lot more common, so just watch for triggering Articuno's competitive. That's a scary thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you still had to worry about it when Passimian was there in case it was running Defiant, so.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I think that's its main ability that does any good, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Does he get Mold Breaker? Let's see.
Pause for quick looking up. It gets Receiver and Defiant.
That's right, Receiver.
The only one of those is good.
Receiver. So Defiant is its ability. for singles. Yeah.
Let's act like receiver doesn't exist.
Yeah, so. this is singles format discussion here, not doubles.
Yeah, honestly, Passimian being gone means Defog is
much better,
super common because it's not gone or not triggering Defiant all the time.
Yeah,
so,
you still
yeah,
have Articuno, but otherwise, yeah, like that's it. So it's going to be a little easier to sneak in those Defogs.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for sure. I forgot about it. Gets Defiant. I thought it just basically was like Zygarde and had no ability. I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Nope, it has an actual ability.
Mm-hmm.
No, I used it as well in the 500 Club, just like Scarf Defiant, and there was a couple of times that webs happened. It's like, well, I'm now +2 at normal speed. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Webs will probably go crazy now at least a little bit. Because a lot of good setters are down here.
Actually,
I think.
Webs is not bad in would be in PU because, I mean, you're not triggering competitive off of Galarian Articuno.
Yeah, it flies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, on that team? Ooh, that'd be good. Because you'd force your opponent.
Use your webs, folks.
Yeah. Webs would be good. Because you get to.
Yeah.
You have to force Defog to trigger it. So, yeah.
Mm hmm. If I had to make a prediction, though, I'm expecting some kind of action on Drampa to take place in the near future, because it's probably going to be too much now that its primary check is gone. And, like, things that are trying to slot for coverage for it just don't do enough. It's bulky. It's not fragile by any means. Passimian was good because it could one-shot it with close combat because it's got a huge attack stat. But stuff like Mesprit just slotting in Dazzling Gleam to try might do 50%. Like, it's not good.
Yeah, it's like you might get Serena with like a high jump kick doing close, and like you're gonna have to trade. It's not gonna be a one for one. Like it's not gonna be like Drampa like take something and then you can easily take it back out with, you know, with Passimian. No, you're gonna have to wear it. You may have to take two hits to take down Drampa.
Yeah.
Which we'll see. We'll see what happens. As of September, it did not climb the top 10 in PU, but I imagine that's going to change, as you said, with Passimian gone. Even with Savali Steel, honestly, just because Steel is a good dragon, a good check to its stabs.
Yeah, it does get Flamethrower, though.
Yeah, it's got a stupid coverage.
It's got crazy.
It's got Surf.
I think it gets Thunderbolt, and yeah.
Thunderbolt, Surf, Flamethrower, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That covers pretty much everything in the top 10, almost. Right there, mm-hmm. Not in addition to its own two stabs.
Yeah. Goofiness. All right, but that's the first three of three? How many was that? Four? Whatever. Numbers are irrelevant. That's the first handful of tiers. We are going to take one small segment break and come back at you with OU and UU. We will be right back.
And now for our main topic.
And we're back with part two of Tier Time with the big ones, the OU and the UU, which have by far the biggest changes to them, at least as UU is concerned. OU is in a stable kind of place right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say right now it's been pretty good. Just the big thing with the hail, it's kind of stabilized a bit now. But it seems like it's definitely here to stay. It wasn't just the fluke, for sure. That's when we start looking at what rose into it.
Yeah. I mean, Ninetales jumping from RU to OU in one tier shift period.
Yeah.
It kind of speaks for that.
Yeah,
as well as Pelipper rising, honestly, as counter weather.
Yep, so you got basically the big risers into OU. You've got Victini and Blacephalon jumping from UUBL. Buzzwall and Pelipper going from UU proper. And then Bereskuda and Alolan Ninetales jumping from RU. So, yeah, you've got Hail as the king weather of the format right now, and rain trying to kind of counter it. Sand doesn't do well in the current weather wars.
It really doesn't. And if you're honestly the sand thing, it's like you're accidentally having sand on your team. You're either running a Tyranitar and using that to boost its special defense, or running a Hippowdon just to have a fat ground. You're not I haven't seen a whole lot of things built around the sand anymore, even with Dracozolt existing. I was surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
It's just worse weather, I guess. Oh, well. Yeah. Sand is just kind of there by accident. It's good by itself,
yeah, it's definitely had a lot of moments, and we'll definitely get into some of the ramifications of what's happened here.
For sure. Yeah, that's one of the big reasons, sand being meh, that one of the UU things takes place. But we won't give that away, even though our smarter listeners probably figured it out already. We are going to quickly discuss the Community Pulse survey that happened in the last couple of weeks. They do that every once in a while. I think they're on a set schedule, but I don't for the life of me remember what that set schedule is. But they sent out that survey. You could respond to it if you wanted to, and they have the results back as of a couple of days ago. And for the most part, people view the Sword Shield format for OU as pretty good and pretty competitive, both fun to play and good feeling as far as, like, does it feel fair? Competitive is the word that, of course, we're using.
Mm-hmm.
Most people rank it on a scale of 1 to 10 at around a 7 or 8.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Not 7.8? Too much water?
Not 7.8. There's not enough water, if you will. The only thing, they asked a couple questions. I took the survey myself. I don't know if you did.
I did not.
Okay. For some of the people who are listening, they probably remember a couple of the things. They asked about three specific Pokemon or things in the survey. One of them was Kyurem. One of them was Magnapull. One of them was
Dragapult.
Oh, gosh, now that I'm trying to remember it. No, it wasn't actually Dragapult, I don't think. Heatran was the other one.
Yeah. I can't believe.
No, wait, maybe it was Dragapult. Dragapult and Heatran. Those are them.
I can't believe either
of them. So Kyurem. Yeah. Kyurem, Magnapull, Dragapult, and Heatran. And Weavile, actually, now that I think about it. So that was the slate that they asked specifically on. Of those, the only one that really had a noteworthy response that people think needs some kind of action was Kyurem, of all things. Most people in the overall survey leaned towards no action being needed, but when they got to, like, the qualified players, they called it, people who are on the ladder high enough and have a decent experience level with things, 49% of them think that at the very least, like, of course, in that 49%, there's multiple brackets, like people who think it absolutely needs to happen with a suspect, or people who think that at least a suspect should take place so they can really answer that question. Totaled together, 49% of those upper ladder players think something needs to probably happen with Kyurem. So we may have another OU suspect test finally on the horizon. The other one that was kind of controversial was Magnapull as an ability. There was a lot of discussion spurring a couple of weeks ago about whether Magnapull was competitive and what the real difference is between Magnapull and Shadow Tags and things like that. Like, what's the actual, by definition of everything, difference? What is the meat? Is it competitive? That kind of thing. So they got a pulse on that. And 78% of the general public and 65% of the upper ladder players don't think it's an issue. So most likely nothing will be happening with Magnapull because a vast majority, super majority, if you will, of players don't think it's uncompetitive or a problem.
Yeah, I think almost half think Magnapull is totally fine and not even worth considering. Like that's the most chill. So if more than half are just like, nothing needs to happen at all, not even willing to listen to it, it looks like. So
yeah, like a strongly disagree kind of level.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Magnapull is fine, and I mean, that doesn't affect too many things right now, I think, as well. Or the things that it can affect, you know, can counter the Magnapull. Because there really is only one Magnapull Pokemon right now, being Magnezone. And,
yep.
Yeah, it can trap Corviknight, but Corviknight can be usually built with Body Press in mind for it. Ferrothorn will run Body Press. Heatran deals with it easily on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Scissor should be able to U-turn on, I think.
Yeah. Now that there's no Hidden Power Fire coming at it, it could probably get out even after absorbing a Thunderbolt if it needed to.
Mm-hmm. Melmetal can...
Most Scizor are especially defensive, too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think most of the steals actually can counter it well enough. So, or and if they don't want to counter it, they run Shed Shell.
Yep.
For better
and
for
I think
worse,
most of the. Yeah, I think the biggest reason it was on there was because in the discussion forums there was a lot of heated discussion about, like, why are we making a different rule for this? Fundamentally, it is the same as Arena Trap and Shadow Tag. Like, why are we making an exception for Magnet Pull? Is it just so we can have something to counter steals and make them not as good? Because steal is good. Like, what's, by definitions and, like, tiering rules and things like that, what makes this different? There was a lot of heated discussion about that, even by some of the badged members that were on both sides of that argument. So that's why it was on here, but it came back. People don't think it's a problem. So here we are. The only other thing that came even close to people thinking that action of some sort needed to be taken was Dragapult, with 28% of the general public thinking something needs to be done. That's not enough to warrant anything. Dragapult is thereby not really a problem and not on people's radar at the moment. Everything else was even lower than that by a fair amount. So Weavile's fine, Heatran is fine, and overall, the OU meta is in a real good place, with the only thing being possibly Q-Rem down the line. So,
which I can understand.
Let's take a look
honestly
at, like, what's being used. Yeah, me too, honestly.
Like, it's got a good typing. It's got good stabs. It could be very. It could usually slap a scarf. It could put up a sub Bruce Toxic. It's got a good variety ability. But I think right now, I mean, it's, what, September usage? It's number 20.
Yep.
It's not even like Lando T's way up at the top. I mean, I don't think it's an issue.
It always will be, honestly.
Yeah, I mean Lando T. Yeah, not until, you know, BDSP gives Gleistor back, but that's a different. That's a different topic.
That'll shave off 10%.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the thing that puts Kyurem over, in my opinion, is the freeze-dry move, which, you know, makes it so typical waters can't counter it anymore. They're actually weak to it. And on top of that, it has the freeze chance on a lot of its moves, which is a huge contributing factor to, like, making a consistent counter work. Because if it gets that freeze chance, it's much more lethal than a random Dragapult special defense drop from Shadow Ball. That takes a Pokemon out of commission for basically the rest of the battle.
That's fair.
So
yeah.
That, on its most spammable stab move, is probably what kind of is making people lean towards over the edge. Even Tapu Fini, which has had an enormous surge of usability. It's actually the number one Tapu right now.
Yeah,
it is. Just above Lele.
Yeah, Lele finally
Feeny's cracking
got an
enormous
up there,
variety.
Though.
Come again, I'm
yeah,
sorry?
Lele's, I think, finally peaking up at the top 10. I think it's kind of been stuck in that middle bunch for a long time.
Yeah, Lele's a terrifying breaker. And, you know, Lele and Kyurem together, they have similar checks, like Scizor, for instance, which has finally found its place as a Kyurem stop and a Lele stop, because Lele doesn't have Hidden Power Fire. Ha ha ha.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah. Please, no, don't do that to me. But yeah, Scizor is, you know, stopping it in a way.
Yeah.
It can't bullet punch, but it can take the hits and recover. But they have similar checks and counters, so one can pressure the other and overwhelm the other is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Lele is scarier than Kyurem as a breaker, but as far as having counters, I think Kyurem is the scarier of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Clefable has fallen from grace really hard.
Yeah.
Just from what I'm seeing. Like, I think it's been top 10 for forever, but now it's number 12.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I guess I think it's really just kind of been, I think Heatran kind of popping up more has kind of put it down. It's not, Clefable isn't as crucial to being able to kind of stop any, there's not a big physical threat that Clefable just outright stops right now, and I think with just some of the steals, specifically, I think Heatran bumping up, being a good special wall, Magnastorm's trapping all the stuff, all the coverage it can get. Yeah, makes it just a real, real big, good defensive option, offensive option in this format.
Yeah. I think it goes without mentioning that Landorus Therian is the top. It's currently sitting at 44.5% usage.
And not a problem.
And I know what you're thinking, listener. Doesn't that mean it's uncompetitive and unbalanced? No. I'm sorry. I also hate it, but not because it's uncompetitive, just because it's common. It's just good at what it does. It adapts well. It's mainly being run as a special defensive wall nowadays.
There's enough threats, I think, in the format that keeps Landorus in check. You've got Weavile there, being able to just, you can Ice Shard or just, you know, Triple Axle, Icicle Crash, just fine. Feeny can still, you know, still spam water moves fine. Pult can still potentially break it a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. You've got
Cartana can even overwhelm it.
Not to mention both Rain and Hail teams still existing in this format as well. So there's enough stuff around that I think that it's not as big of an issue.
Yep. There's a lot of ways that if you have Lando on your team, you can be taken advantage of, in a sense, because of things like Hail. People will aim to take out that Landorus. So even though it's at 44% usage, it can still actually be potentially a liability, depending on what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Like Ice Beam on your Galarian Slowking. For me, personally, I love Galarian Slowking. I've fallen in love with that thing.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
Especially paired with Buzzwole.
Yeah, it's the best of the slow right now. Because of it.
For sure.
I think that it doesn't get teleport, which sucks. But I think I think the poison typing is better.
Yeah.
Because it's a better fighting check.
Yeah. It really adds, and it can absorb toxic spikes too and make those like its existence alone is making so toxic spikes just don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. But for me, I EV train mine so that it can absorb an earthquake from Lando. And Ice Beam it to death.
Nice.
Yeah. So I can trick it. I can make it. I can make a seemingly bad situation into a win for me. So, haha. I don't see Skarmory on this list. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, where's
it's falling out of grace real hard.
Yeah.
There's just better flyings. Corviknight's on here. Dragonite is on here doing incredibly well. Tornadus, Zapdos. Ferrothorn is a better spiker, honestly.
Yeah. No,
and a lot of things that you would send it in on, like it can't stop physical attackers in OU right now, because Garchomp runs Fire Fang now, Weavile is Weavile and will just ice move you to death.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that Triple Axle two shots.
I'm pretty sure that it should two shot easily.
And Corviknight's just better because it actually has a special defense stat to go with the other, so it can actually kind of stand a chance against Lele.
Yeah, the balanced defense of Corviknight is definitely a better thing for it because it can bulk up to boost its defense, and it has the special defense to handle things like, you know, like Clefable Fire Flamethrowers, Slowking Flamethrowers occasionally, you know, things like that, you know,
exactly.
from the walls, so...
I'll leave you with one spice idea if you want to be a fancy OU person, and that is what's sitting at number 27, Mew. Run it Dragon Dance. Take people off guard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my recommendation.
Yeah, Mew can do a lot of things. Yeah, Dragon Dance looks good, yeah. Dragon Dance, Fire Move, Ground Move.
Yeah.
And Psychic, I think, would do enough.
Yeah, it can tear through a whole lot of stuff. So that's my spice rack. I don't have a set for you, but just do it.
Yeah,
trust me.
I'm just spitballing what I think probably the coverage you run based on usage.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you run Psychic, Fighting, Dark.
You can Drain Punch, Earthquake. You can do anything, really. Flare Blitz is probably a given.
Yeah, I think with a couple things like Corviknight and Ferrothorn, that Weavile, mm-hmm. Cartana.
Yeah.
You know, fire seems good for sure.
Yeah. Anywho, let's get to the big one, which had the most changes, and they're like terrifying in some way. We are moving to UU, which is the big tier for this month of October. So I'll quickly run through all of the things entering and leaving. So first of all, they unbanned Latias. So Latias is back in underused. Four Pokemon left underused, that is Buzzwole, Pelipper, and technically Alolan Ninetales and Barrascuda, since they jumped from RU all the way up to OU. So that's four mons that are no longer usable there. And finally, the ones that dropped from OU into UU. They are Excadrill, Skarmory, Hydreigon, Mandibuzz, Cantonian Slowking, and Swampert. And holy macaroni, that is two Pokemon that were previously Uber that are now an underused. Can you freaking believe that?
Yeah, I cannot, because I remember when playing in Gen 5 when Excadrill was banned, and I was playing Sand a lot, and we touched on it earlier, just like Sand just was not as good in OU anymore, and it just fell down a lot. It was near the Excadrill was like 37th on the OU usage stats for September, but when you factor in all those months all together, Excadrill just did not have a place at the moment.
Yeah.
With Sand plus just everything else in the format.
Yeah. So let me go over a little bit of what like what Excadrill could possibly do. We're gonna tag team this. Shark and I have coordinated, and we're gonna go over the ones that dropped and like what each one of them can do and what their impacts could be. So I'll start off with Excadrill, and we finally have something in UU that's an offensive steal that can handle the Rotom forms because it's got Mold Breaker. So Levitate does not matter to it. It can wreck common spin blockers, meaning that, you know, it can go through bouncers. I don't think there's any bouncers that are relevant. There's Hatterene, I suppose, but it's not coming in on Excadrill. But it can wreck a lot of things that would just generally be trying to block it or defog. So it can reliably set its own Stealth Rock. It can also, you know, we mentioned Sand. It can still do that. There's nothing stopping it, and Gigalith exists. So Sand can be set. So you could do that. It's just a really big bummer that both it and Skarmory dropped at the same time. So it really, in that sense, restricts it to being a Mold Breaker user and doing what it needs to do that way. But it's good. It has a surprisingly bulky ability to go bulky, rather, because it's got that massive HP stat. And it can be a special defensive wall. It can be a fairy killer. It can, as I mentioned, the Rotom killing. It's good for just being a general good ground and a general good steal that UU kind of needs.
However, so I just don't know if it's gonna, it's definitely not broken. It's definitely like when you see, when you like the same reaction that I had was like, oh my gosh, Aegislash, what are you doing to UU? You're a big threat or whatever. But I think,
yeah,
but when you see what, I think everything else in the format, and even the UU, was able to just, like, it's balanced enough. Excadrill, when you look at the usage stat in as of September, you have Kamo, defensive Kamo, you have Jirachi,
yep,
Crocodile, Salamence, Aegislash, Celesteela, like, those top six, right, and then even Rotom Wash, well, Rotom Wash is, like, 50-50 with the Mold Breaker, since you're going to be running that one more often, but those first ones, like, those all can do a reasonable job checking Excadrill in their own way. So it's not, Excadrill's not going to just storm the format the same way that like Snorlax or like Regidrago, like, oh my gosh, Instaban. No, it's, I think it's going to have a good solid place in there, but not be broken. Just be a good, reliable, you know, ground steal.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
it is good for it that it enters right when Buzzwole leaves, because that would just really stink for it.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah.
But, yeah.
So that's Excadrill. You want to take us through the next one, Shark?
Yeah. And then we go to Skarmory, which I think, big thing, it's kind of being undershadowed by Corviknight, mostly in OU, and then I think with the Hail and Arctisult kind of coming up, Skarmory just really didn't have a good place anymore, so it's just kind of finally found its way down here, but it's still like a really good, good bulky steel flying type, just like Celesteela is. But it's got that ability to kind of put up the hazards, put up defog, and be a good defensive piece on most of these teams here. Given the other steals here, I think Skarmory fits fairly nicely. It has a good niche over things like Celesteela. I think Celesteela gets a chance to be a bit more offensive now when you have Skarmory in the format too, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it can tap into that Meteor Beam set, maybe.
And I think Spikes as well is just going to be really good in this format as well. None of
that. Yeah, a reliable spiker is something they haven't had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's meta-defining, honestly. Yeah. Just Skarmory existing will really change a lot of what physical attackers can be used. So
yeah, it's definitely going to be, and it's going to be interesting with Kamo being the current number one. I'm curious where Skarmory does a decent job checking it. So I'm curious how Kamo adapts to it. Is it going to be a bit more special, or is it going to just still be the defensive piece and you're just going to pivot out more often, or what are you going to do with it? So
yeah, I imagine it'll start going special.
Go on that throat spray.
Because it does get flamethrower.
Yeah. Throat spray, clangorous skull, soul, or even just throat spray boom burst. Still good with it. Yeah. So, yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see how the meta adjusts with that. Because there's a lot of good steals. So, and plus with Excadrill here as well, it's just kind of like, well, where are the niches here? Aegislash, mm-hmm. obviously, is going to be your big breaker, I think, of all of them in the top. Jirachi being the general momentum piece, Celesteela either offensive or sub seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all do good, so it'd be interesting to see how the meta adapts.
Absolutely, especially now with Latias in here too. That really shakes a lot of these things up too. I guess it's good they ripped the Band-Aid off and let out all these monsters at once. So.
I think it's pretty good because as a last hurrah, it lets everything set itself up. I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be good just so that right before BDSP comes, you really kind of get that whole thing shaken out, balanced out, whether they all go up to UBL or if they go down to RU.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, so...
So we'll hop along to the next one, and that is regular old Cantonian Slowking. And I think it's pretty good. I remember I laughed at it being S rank in OU for a long time just because it never deserved that, if you ask me. But here we are. It's fallen to UU. And... I think the biggest thing that will come out of Slowking is, number one, a Latias check for at least a little bit, so long as it doesn't run Thunderbolt. Even then, Slowking got a decent enough special defense stat, it probably could take one or two of them and then regen out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that old combination of Future Sight, Teleport, and Regenerator all in one thing. It will enable a lot of other things to really pop off, like... some fighting types, like maybe Kamo-O or Mien Shao or things like that. Fighting types really take good advantage of the Future Sight. Other things like Zarude also take advantage of Future Sight being in the air because a lot of its counters don't like it, but also takes advantage of opposing Slowkings because nothing in Slowking does not like seeing Zarude at all. And
occasional flamethrower, but yeah, it does not like Zarude at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
So, I think what Slowking will thrive on is not necessarily by itself, but what kind of other teammates it enables, while also being that Latias check for as long as Latias remains unbanned.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be interesting. It's good that they have another bulky water to give competition to some
like
things.
Like Rotom Wash in general. Just give some... Just a different flavor in there.
Yep, exactly. So that's all I've got on Slowking, if you want to take the next one.
Alright, so next we have Hydreigon, which had a really good time in this generation. It's been OU for quite a bit, and it fit really well, but I think, and just in general, I think Heatran was one of the big things that just kind of stopped it, just because it can run really good Spidef and Magnastorm, just being able to wear it down pretty quickly. That it wasn't able to really
pull. I would argue against that. I honestly used Hydreigon as a good Heatran counter just because it can heal and has Earth Power. I think what mostly done it in was Weavile, if I'm being honest, and that Surge. Because it was used as a knockoff absorber because it resisted it, but it can't come in on Weavile.
That's fair too. No, that's fair.
And Hail.
Mm-hmm. And Hail being also a big threat right now. Yeah, Hydreigon just kind of whittled its way out of the format here.
Mm-hmm.
But now it puts itself in an interesting place with the other dragons, both Salamence and Kamo in the format. But I think the fact is it's a good dark type, and I think it's going to be able to kind of keep a couple things at bay, including the new coming Glatias that just popped in. Can do a decent job there. And even does a good job dealing with Mandibuzz to an extent as well. And it's still got really good coverage. It can be able to deal with some of the fairies that try to switch into it. And I think overall it's going to have a good time. Be a nice partner to Excadrill.
Oh, yeah. If Excadrill clears the way of fairies, then Hydreigon can run train. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that one. I think it'll be a good pair with Latias, too, because they kind of have similar checks in fairies and steels in general. So if they can pressure each other.
Yeah, and they do a decent job. They have good coverage to deal with those, too. Fires, flash cannon, things like that.
Yeah, just watch out for them Sneasels, apparently.
Those rogue Sneasels.
Those rogue random Sneasels. All right. Let's hop into another dark type, and that's Mandibuzz. And that one, I would say, just from what I've read and what I can kind of think about, it's okay. And that's about as far as I would go as far as its overall viability. It's just okay. It does a lot of things that other Pokemon in the tier do as good as, if not better than it. For example, there's a lot of really good defoggers, like... let me just scroll down to here. Salamence is a good defogger. Rotom is a good defogger. That's just a couple. It's a good enough knockoff user, but there are better knockoff users like Crocodile, like other things that I can't think of just from this top.
Yeah, the top 10 is like, top 10 didn't quite show all the... Let me yeah, keep the full list.
It's got a slow U-turn, but other things still got slow
Crawdon.
It's got...
Crawdon can spam knockoffs fairly well. I know Keldeo doesn't get knockoff. But that's just a threat in the format.
No, it doesn't.
Tangrowth gets knockoff.
Yeah, that's a big thing it has competition for.
Yeah, I think so. I think with Tangrowth in the format, I think it... Because Latias, I think Mandibuzz did really well in OU when it was more of a meta with when things like... Urshifu or Rillaboom were more popular, where it was like able to really kind of try to check some of those fighting types, or at least check Rillaboom, you know, like dealing with those.
Right.
But it didn't really have a purpose anymore in OU. Most of the things, it can't really do well against these hail teams, or most of the other offensive threats are more specialty based, or could work its way around Mandibuzz typing, so.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that the thing that made it OU forever is the thing that's going to keep it decent in UU. And I have said that everything does its job in a better way, but it's the only thing that does all of those jobs in one Pokemon. It's really good at roll compression. That's what Mandibuzz's selling point pretty much always will be, is roll compression. All in one Pokemon, it can do this. So long as you keep its heavy-duty boots intact and have some other form of knockoff absorb on your team, Mandibuzz is okay at doing a lot of jobs in one slot.
Yep.
So that's its big sell.
Eat hit,
keep
roost,
it safe,
defog,
keep its shoes on.
U-turn.
Yep. Exactly. Rinse, repeat, etc., etc. The life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So hit us with our last newcomer to UU, Shark.
The last newcomer is Swampert. I think with kind of the hail coming on, with the freeze dry and everything, and just other, I think just in general, ground types not as good at this second when you have Lando T kind of doing pretty much everything.
It was OU for far too long.
Swampert just kind of sells itself back down. It's going to be a good bulky water ground. It'll check Rotom Heat pretty well in the format. It'll set up Stealth Rock. It'll flip turn. It'll do just whatever you need it to kind of just eat hits and give you momentum or smack things around. There's still things that'll keep it in check, but I mean, it's going to have a good place. Even things like Keldeo in the format can do a decent job kind of checking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it can be specially defensive or physically defensive. The stats are the same. You just have to EV it correctly.
EV it or slap an assault vest.
Mm-hmm. Or pair it with other team members that just fill in the gap. Make it physically defensive and pair it with Wish Sylveon. Like,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it'll enjoy
and
that.
And it's got flip turn now, which is real cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that will be the big thing. With Seismitoad coming into the format, it'll be a question of whether those two competing for that one kind of groundwater slot.
Exactly. If
rain's a thing, Seismitoad will have more use. Or if things like, I think if Keldeo pops off, you know, with a couple of things that
Honestly, Keldeo could pop off. Now I'm talking out loud here. Buzzwall gone. Excadrill's here. Hydreigon's here.
Slowking is back.
Slowking.
That might keep it at bay.
Oh, Slowking. You're right. Slowking will keep it at bay.
And honestly, Latias, for as long as that's here, too. Yeah.
Those two things would.
Yeah. But I think Swampert being UU is what will push Seismitoad back to RU, like I said at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So there's other things that are just kind of generally happening in UU as far as just overall trends. I have personally loved seeing the continued fall of Regieleki, especially now that two new good ground types have entered the tier. So goodbye, you dumb Pokemon that mandates ground types on every team. Now we have Excadrill and Swampert. Keep falling, you goofy, goofy Pokemon.
And Dickerspeez popped up in usage as well. So there's a lot of, and Crocodiles being the top of the format. And you still just have lurking Mamoswine, Nidoking, Rhyperior in this format as well. It's like, yeah, no, but Regieleki is not going to have fun. Though there's a lot of flying types, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, oh, there are.
Except one of them is Thunderous Therion. That does a good
absorber, though.
Regieleki.
Yeah, in a different way. Zygarde is going to be kind of scary. 10% form, of course, because that's the only one that's allowed. Buzzwole was its biggest counter, and Skarmory can do nothing to stop it because Thousand Arrows works like that. So,
yeah,
be on the lookout for Zygarde.
Nothing that came in is going to do an extremely good job. Some of them can, but it's just like none of them going to do that big of thing. A lot of things get.
Yeah, the closest thing I could see is Mandibuzz, honestly, just coming in and foul playing, but it takes a lot of damage in the process.
Yeah, maybe Swampert, similarly, just be able to ice punch it back.
Or even Flip Turn. It's got paper defenses, so that might do enough. Mm. If you leave Torrent active or something like that, you might accidentally hit Torrent.
Yeah, you might actually hit Torrent. That wouldn't be too bad, actually. You could probably EV Swampert to take 2,000 arrows and be in Torrent range to boost up Flip Turn.
Yep, you could probably do that. With being Stealth Rock resistant, that's probably pretty good, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
If you want my recommendation of what dragon to run in UU, I highly recommend Noivern, which has seen a lot of success in UU before, but with the things that entered, some of them like to set up subs, and Noivern don't care. It's also faster than Latias and Zygarde, 10%. It's a defogger. That's what I would recommend. Just do Meteor, Flamethrower, Defog Roost, and have a fun old time. Noivern's pretty darn good with the current trends.
Yeah, that's pretty spicy, actually.
Takes care of Hydreigon, too.
It's actually really spicy, given the kind of Pokemon that are in this format. Yeah. Yeah, Sub Hydreigon doesn't like it. I think Latias can even run the subsets, but yeah. I'm curious, which... It depends on which Kamos are run, too, though. Well, kind of depends. Soundproof could be.
Yeah, that's...
Soundproof can accidentally check, you know, if you click Boom Burst on accident.
Yeah, you typically wouldn't have it. I've seen Draco Meteor Flamethrower in most cases, just because those are its best moves.
That's fair.
Yeah. I also predict that, you know, they unbanned Latias. Just looking at the feel and pulse of the surveys... Not surveys, pardon me. The discussion forums... I don't think it's long for this world, very honestly. It's good that they're letting it out again now that huge changes came down in these Pokemon, but none of these Pokemon really stop Latias. Like, Slowking can slow it down if it's the wrong set. Mandibuzz can kind of slow it down, maybe. But if it gets the right move coverage or has a Calm Mind or something like that, nothing that's new really stops it. So there hasn't been a whole lot of changes that make it different than the last time it was banned. So I don't think it's very long for this world. On teams without Chansey, you still have to be just stupid careful from team preview. So.
Yeah, Latias has a lot. Depending on the right set can tear through this whole format.
Mm-hmm. Mystical Fire was a terrifying addition to its moveset, let alone Aura Sphere as well, but Mystical Fire mainly.
I think even then, it stops its counters so well. It's like...
Mm-hmm.
Because if they aren't set up, then if you're ahead and they're behind, then yeah, you win the race.
Yep. In this world that's unkind to Rotom, with things like Excadrill, Latias, even Swampert in some cases, because the grass one isn't used here, In a world that's unkind to Rotom, Gyarados emerges from the depths of the sea to take over the world. So it gets one Dragon Dance up and you're gone because it's got such good coverage with Bounce, Waterfall, Power Whip. It can even run Substitute if you want and Earthquake, just pick two of those moves.
Looking at it, honestly, because, with all the ground types that we talked about that are that have come in or that are still here, I mean, and plus the water types, you might shift Rotom Wash out. Rotom Heat, honestly, probably still around, but, I mean, that's one of the ones that Gyarados can check in the right, unless it's Scarf, then Gyarados beats it.
If you sub on the Volt Switch, too, that really throws off their game.
Exactly.
That's why Substitute Gyarados is so good. If you choose the right moment to substitute, you can always avoid the Volt Switch. And finally, the last Pokemon that's been seeing a weird amount of success is Conkeldurr. Apparently, in some recent tournaments, it's been having some really good success to the point that some people are calling for action to be taken on it. But I don't think anything will be done with Conkeldurr before things are figured out with Latias and if it deserves to still exist here.
Yeah, so. I think Latias is going to keep it in check for the short term. Yeah, it has some potentials here still. There's still a good amount of dark types that it can take advantage of. But we'll see.
Absolutely. And just Mach Punch is good. Skarmory typically doesn't run flying moves from what I've seen. It usually is Body Press and then three utility moves. So it can sometimes even take that on, depending on what the offensive move is. Drain Punch is stupid. And if Skarmory roosts at the wrong moment, Conkeldurr's slower.
So that
thing can be mean. That's kind of UU in a nutshell, though. As I said, the spice rack is going to be just run Noivern. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I like it. I like it here. It looks really good.
Yeah. Honestly, it's so fun. We've made the joke several times in the last years, but UU looks like last gen's OU.
It really does. I don't want to look at it real fast. I'm curious. What does OU look like in freaking Sun and Moon here?
Yeah, it'll be weird because Megas throw off things.
I mean, you've got Azu, you've got Celesteela, mm-hmm. you've got you got Excadrill was it? Excadrill and OU. Hawlucha fell down to UUBL. I'll mention that.
Right.
It
wasn't much of a change, though, because it was already UUBL, so it never... It quote-unquote left OU, thank God. But it can still be run, so less thank God.
Yeah.
That's my other pro tip. Don't run Hawlucha just because if you do, I hate you.
That's fair. But I mean, yeah. Keldeo, Jirachi, Kamo-o, Rotom Wash, Skarmory, mm-hmm. Tangrowth, Bulu...
These are all UU.
There's a few that I'm skipping that are like good, like that are there, but still, like that's all the for sure OUs. I mean, there's a few that like Chansey. And that's even even with Megas, and that's even with the Pokemon that still aren't here. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm. I remember at the end of Sun and Moon, Mega Latias was generally regarded as the best Mega in OU too. So even though it's not the same, it's kind of funny that it's down here.
Oh yeah, when you think about that, it's like Mega Latias is there. Mega Swampert was OU
probably somewhere. Mm-hmm.
So this is basically doing the same thing. This Swampert might be slightly better, honestly, just because it gets flip turned.
Yeah.
Mega Gyarados was
now
OU.
More than ever. Yeah. Right now with these. What, one, two, with these six drops, now more than ever, UU is last gen's OU, which is just, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so I think that pretty much brings to a close all of the tier shifts that have happened in the last 3 months. We'll be keenly watching for the next ones, so expect another episode like this in early January.
Yeah, January is when it's projected, but we'll see if something happens to tiering or we'll see what the BDSP does immediately.
We are in the hands of how and when Pokemon Home is updated to allow things to come to Swish, if that even happens. We still don't know if it will, so definitely, we're at the edge of our seats for the next couple of months. It's, what, less than 40 days till BDSP comes out?
Yeah. In December, we may and be talking RTS about the out. BDSP tier.
Exactly. Once that gets developed.
Yeah, we'll find out if and when that comes out. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to say the least. So we will be back at you with another episode next month. Let me go through the contractually required little bit that I have to say. If you like what you hear, there are more things on this feed, the Puckle Plus feed, to listen to. Things like the Trivia Rewind, the Trivia Show itself, and the TCG Cast, which I'll actually be on again this month.
Ooh,
I get to talk about TCG as well, which I've been having a fun time with. But listen in on those if you want some more Puckly Plus goodness. And of course, there is the main Puckle Show that happens every Monday on the Puckle feed, PUCL, separate from this one you're listening to our lovely voices on. That comes out, like I said, every Monday. If you like what you hear, there's other ways you can support the show too. You can donate through Patreon. That is what lets us sound as good as we do in most situations. And it all goes right back to the community in things like stuff you can get. And on top of that, also join the Discord. I can't stress that enough. There's a link in the show notes or description or however you're listening to this. That's where the magic happens. That's where you can talk with all of us via text, via voice. You can jump into a Unite room and try and get to Zapdos before someone else steals it from under your nose and play some Unite games there. The Smogon thread, the TCG thread, that is where the real Puckle magic happens on a 24/7
the draft basis, discussion so. Thread as well. If you're into draft leagues, we have a fairly active community that has developed while we do host our own draft league, you know, in the spring, summertime, we still are playing in other leagues and definitely are there to chat around and help team build, that kind of stuff there. So that is really, it pretty much pops almost 24/7, honestly, especially in the overnights when you have a few Australian listeners kind of spam commenting and talking through things. So while we're all asleep,
Puckle is worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, yep, I've said the catch you later bit. We'll come to the Discord bit. So
we say Twitch and YouTube.
Oh my gosh, how do I forget this every time? Thank you, Shark, for keeping me in line. I'm a goofball. Watch us on Twitch, watch us on YouTube. That is where we're starting to figure out a lot of new content and things like that. So catch us there for other Puckly goodness, especially I think Thatch is regularly streaming on Twitch on Tuesday, Thursday, I think.
That's what he's tended to. I've honestly missed a few myself recently. I know he's been kind of busier this month, so it may have slowed down slightly, but I know he's planning to pick back up soon. If he has slowed down, it's picking up, so he's looking to get back into that. I know he talked about being on Unite, so you expect some of that. I mean, if not on Twitch, he is occasionally in voice chat on Discord to play with people, so definitely look there.
Absolutely.
And I know we're trying to host some sort of like board game type event every month now on Twitch as well, which that first one we talked about at the beginning of the show. I know next month that Linian's been talking about doing a TCG Cube. So
that's right. He mentioned that to me.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fun. So that'll be fun to watch and do. So that'll be
catch in all the Puckly goodness.
Yeah, and I know with BDSP coming out, I wonder if someone will be doing some sort of playthrough on stream, so.
For sure, it'll be going nuts here in a month.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, and so, with that, now that I've got my good friend Shark to keep me in line and make sure I fulfill this contract, I have been Seth Vilo.
And I've been Shark Finnegan.
And we'll catch you guys next month.
Peace.
Flip side.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.